Notre Dame. Notre Dame, a great cathedral in France, on the Seine River. It's on a small island in the middle of the Seine River. The Notre Dame means Our Lady, and it was built as a dedication. The work was began by King Louis VII, and he wanted to build a temple, a cathedral, to honor the divine feminine, to honor the mothering principle that we are all honoring here today, and people all over the world are honoring. And so he wanted to build this cathedral, the Notre Dame, the Our Lady. The Our Lady that King Louis VII had in mind, of course, in the Catholic system, the Our Lady that he wanted to build this temple to was who the Catholics referred to as the Mother of God, the Mother of Jesus, Holy Mary, full of grace. And so he wanted us to give reverence to this Divine Mother, and so he began this project of building the Notre Dame. You know, so many temples, so many monuments have been built in the name of the male energy, in the name of kings. And so this was a wonderful thing that he was bringing, getting the energy of the Divine Mother to protect the nation of France. I heard this story. I doubt that it's true, but when stories are good, I don't care whether they're true. If a story is good and moves my heart and brings tears to my eyes, I don't care if it's true or not. People ask me, so you actually think Jesus actually lived? You actually think Jesus did those miracles? You actually think that Jesus taught those lessons? The truth is, I don't care if he did really or not. It's not really about the historical figure of Jesus for me. It's about the living spirit of the one I identify as the living manifest Christ, active and alive in my life, in my mind, and in my heart. Many, many of the fictional stories have inspired me just as much as our stories that have come down through historical fact. So this is the story that I heard way back, probably in the 1960s, when I was still a hippie, about the creation of the Cathedral of Notre Dame. In this story, I was told that King Louis wanted to go out and check on the work. They had brought workers in from all over. Of course, all of the architects and all of the builders in France were there, and they had brought people in, architects and builders and stuff from Italy and other nations in Europe, because they wanted the best workers to work on this temple to get the work done. Well, one day, King Louis, in the way that I was told the story, Louis VII decided that he was going to go incognito and check on the building of the temple. He was going to put on some shabby clothes, take off his royal purple, and take off his crown and his rings and his bangles, and he was just going to dress way down and put on some jeans and a t-shirt, and he was going to go out there among the people to find. He knew what he was doing. He knew what his intention was in building this temple in honor of the Divine Mother. But he didn't know the people working on the temple, what they were doing, because we're all doing what we're doing in our minds. So if you look out your window and see a bunch of people working to build a temple, you're not able to see what they think they're doing. So in the story I was told, King Louis VII went out among the people, dressed way down, like I said, his jeans and t-shirts, and he stopped by one guy who was chiseling stone, and he asked the guy, "What is it that you are doing? What are you doing here?" And the guy said, "I am involved in back-breaking work. I have blisters all over my hands. My back is aching. I've got a limp in my walk because one of the stones fell on my foot, and I'm in this grind, and he's got us working 16 hours a day. That's what I'm doing. I'm suffering through this." Okay. The guy who says he's suffering through it gets to be right. He's suffering through it. King Louis didn't need to question him, didn't need to bring up other ideas. All he wanted to know was, what are you doing here? To me, this is the question that is being asked of all of us in the work of love to staying alive. The work of breathing through a 24-hour day, day after day after day after day, through thick and thin, through up and down, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. What are you doing is the question the Spirit is asking of us. King Louis the VII went on and he found another worker. And to this worker he said, "What are you doing here?" And this worker looked up and said, "I am blessed to be able to earn a little coins. With these coins, I am able to have shelter and food for my family. So I am here working 18 hours a day. And with the 18 hours a day, I am making coins. What you see me doing here is earning. And what I earn allows me to take care of my family." A different answer from the first guy. But this guy's living truth about what he was doing. Once more, the entire universe is asking of me and of you, what are you doing here? What are you doing here? Well, King Louis the VII said, "I think I'll ask one more person who's working on this cathedral, and I'll get a third answer, and then I better get home and get out of these jeans and sweatshirt and back into my royal robes and take care of the business that I was born to take care of." So he approached the third guy, doing the same work as the other two, all of them in a row, all of them with chisels in their hands, all of them with big hammers in their hands, all of them chiseling rock and putting the rock into place. Looks like all of them are doing the same thing, but if you ask people, "What are you doing?" you can find out everybody is doing something different. Even sitting in the sanctuary, it looks like we're all doing the same thing, but trust me, all of us are doing what we are doing as an individual. We're not all in the same church this morning. We're not all hearing the same message this morning. We're not all here with the same intentions this morning. And that's why the question, "What are you doing here?" is an important question for us and not just for the people who are at work building the Notre Dame. That third person. "Excuse me, what are you doing here?" That rascal turned around with a huge grin. His eyes lit up like the sun. He had goosebumps. You could see them all over. And he said, "What am I doing here? Why, I am working with all of my other brothers and sisters here to build the greatest cathedral that God has ever ordained be built. It is called the Notre Dame. It is in honor of the Divine Mother, the Mother of God, all of our mothers. We are lifting up this temple, this cathedral, which will outshine any cathedral in any part of any place on planet Earth. It is to be grand. And so collectively, me with my brothers and my sisters are putting our hands to the mantle, and we are chiseling and we are shoving 18 glorious hours a day. Are we blessed to be working on this amazing manifestation of a thank you to our Creator?" King Louis went on back to his crib at that point, because he could not have asked another person and got a more profoundly feeding of the Spirit response. The Spirit is asking Carlos, "What are you doing here?" Some days in Carlos's life, Carlos has said, "Breaking my back, working my butt off, toiling, making it through." Now, some of that was not even a work of like a job work. For me, in some moments of my life, it was just the work of crawling out of bed. It was the work of getting out of a fetal position. It was the work of trying to enjoy the sounds of birds again, because I had lost the feeling of joy when the birds sang. Sometimes my work has been simply to make myself eat something because I know not only don't have an appetite for food, I didn't have an appetite or breath either. Some days in my life, if the universe asks me, "What are you doing here? What are you doing here on this amazing, amazing, mind-blowingly beautiful planet? And I said, I'm earning my keep. I'm working my job so that I can get my check, so that I can pay my bills, so that I can keep a roof over my head and clothes on my back or food for my children on the table. And that's where I was coming from. I was living an experience that was a higher vibration than the one that said, I'm just here toiling. It was like, oh, I'm here being responsible. I'm working, I'm earning, and I'm a good steward of money that I earn. But Lord, there have also, hallelujah, thank you, God, been some times where the universe has asked me, Carlos, what are you doing here? And I've answered like that third man on the line back in the 1100s working on the Cathedral of Notre Dame. More and more and more and more, through the work that I'm doing, through my own desire to be all that I can be, I am able to say, what am I doing here? Why, I am working along with my brothers and my sisters in harmony. We are working to build the greatest monument of praise to God that has ever been built. We are working together to build a cathedral that will outshine all other edifices throughout planet Earth. We are here building the living temple of the living God in the honor of the loving female nature of God, which is love, which is compassion, which is service, which is a willingness. Honey, if your baby's in your hands, I have seen so many people, so many women, so many mothers, if their babies are in their hands, they not only put one foot in front of another foot in front of another foot in front of another foot, walking through the valley of the shadow of death, they will walk through fire. That's what I'm doing here. That's what you're doing here. Do we experience that this is what we're doing all the time? No, we don't. But if you tell the truth, you will have to acknowledge that you have been sometime. Everybody has had a moment. Everybody has had moments and periods in your life where you knew that you were not just struggling, not just toiling, and not just earning your money to pay your bills. For each of us has been kissed by the breath of the Creator. In our second creation, we have been visited by our first creation. The I Am that God spoke into being comes and visits the I Am that was formed of clay to remind me of who I really am. And the same has happened for each of you because it goes with being alive. And so when I called Zoe to tell her what talk title I wanted to do, I was already under the influence of what I had learned about myself and the outbleeding. I was already, whenever I'm looking forward to apologizing to someone, I'm one of the happiest kids on the block. I love apologizing when I find out I've done something amiss. I love it. I can't wait to, because I'm getting there so I can undo an energy stream that I put out. I'm there to bring harmony back where I caused some sort of aggravation. I love apologizing. And I love when I apologize, knowing that I'm in that moment making a commitment. Trust me, look at me, this won't ever happen again. And should it, you stand up and start coughing in mass to give me a wake-up call. I just want you to contemplate this week. What are you doing? It looks like you're doing what everybody else is doing. Getting up, getting washed, getting dressed, going to work, going to school, doing the things. Life requires so much of the one formed of clay. The amount of numbers we have to remember alone. We have to remember passwords and phone numbers and all kinds of stuff. I mean, that alone. But what I want you to ask is, I would love it if you would bring to mind in your own life experience the thrill of your moments of answering like that third guy on the line, where you are clear, like I am right now, that what I'm doing here is working along with each and every one of you to build the greatest monument one formed of clay could ever build for the glory of God, in the name of feminine love, in the name of feminine compassion, in the name of feminine forbearance. And that temple that we are building is the temple that each of us is. And I can't build mine alone, and you can't build yours alone. We need each other. We need to work side by side with goosebumps all over our body, with our eyes shining like the sun. Just think, everything you do, everything you have done, even the hurts and disappointments, the times when you dropped a stone on your foot and were limping for a while, the times when your fingers had blisters all over them or cuts and they were bleeding, and still you smiled, knowing what you were doing. To life, l'chaim, 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 to life. I see that your mother did not abort you. I see that she did not miscarry you. You are here, alive, to live. Peace.
Blessings that do not initially appear. prepared to be blessings. Those moments where one door has closed, simply that another might open to a greater field of experience. Those moments where an apparent loss is revealed to be a gain. I am so blessed. I'm so blessed, each and every one of us. Blessed to be here living this life. Blessed by our mother's willingness to carry us and to birth us into this world. No one said it would always be easy, but we can each know that God did not bring us this far to leave us. We can each trust the best is yet to come. As we breathe gently and deeply right here and right now, we allow this attitude of gratitude to take us over, to fill our minds and to fill our hearts. We rest gently and sweetly in the living spirit of safety and peace. We extend all gratitude to our earthly mothers for allowing us to be here and for loving us to the best of their ability, given their place in consciousness at all moments. We are also blessed to know that this is not our only mother, that the divine feminine spirit of God is always, always with us, loving us, holding us through every storm, and whispering sweet nothings into our ear. You are the apple of her eye. You are her precious cargo. You are her favorite. Allow yourself to experience the love of God from the crown of your head to the tiptoes of your feet. Allow the spirit to infiltrate your mind and heart and every nook and cranny of your being. Silently allow yourself to be fed directly from Mother God. Gently bring yourself back to the here and now. Feel yourself as a body sitting on your chair. Allow yourself to be fully present here and now.